All right, I'm going to begin our time together with some announcements. So first off, I would like to echo everyone's Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers and grandmothers and aunts and stepmothers and bonus mothers and church lady mothers. I hope that in this time of being apart, you will find a way to celebrate today. The second announcement I have is the plan as of right now is to continue worshiping online through the end of May. Cliff, can you mute everybody? I'm hearing a lot of background noise. All right. So second announcement is we are planning to continue to worship online through the end of May. Session at both churches and I are working to try to get worship in person beginning on June 7th. So that'll be the first Sunday in June. Now, that is dependent upon us still being able to gather in June. And that's also dependent upon us being able to secure the supplies that we need to do that. I believe that we will be able to, so that is the plan. This week, I'm going to be working on getting some stuff together to kind of illustrate what worship is going to look like when we gather together. It's going to look a little bit different than we're used to, and I want to give you guys some time to get used to those changes. So check, be on the lookout for that. Hopefully you'll be getting that late this week, early next week. All right, I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone have any announcements to share? You can unmute yourself to share those announcements. I forgot, I'm sorry, I have one final announcement. Lynn, for those of you at Glenshaw, Lynn Garvey is gonna be mailing out, hopefully this week, asking if anyone has anything to put in the June Valley. So if you have any announcements or anything that you wanna share, please email Lynn so we can make sure that it gets in the Valley. All right, let us transition to our prelude. I'm going to mute myself and invite Mark to play. We are going to share our joys and concerns. I'll share what I have and then, sorry, my notebook is over here. I will invite you all to share with me what we can be praying for this week. So the first update I have is just to kind of update you on Suzanne Connors. She is still at home. She is still on oxygen. AJ's telling us that every day she's getting a little bit better, but she hasn't made like significant improvement. In the sense that she feels that she's over it. So please continue to pray for her. Some patients with COVID-19 are just taking a really long time to recover. And unfortunately, it looks like Suzanne is falling in that camp. If you can also keep Greg Sprott in your prayers, he is the son of one of our members at Mount Nebo. He had a hernia this week and had to go to the hospital. He's doing okay, he's home. but just keep him in your prayers. He's also recovered from COVID-19, so he's not having a great month health-wise. So please keep him in your prayers. Also, Kathy has asked us to continue to pray for her. She has been having some back pain and double vision. So please keep her in your prayers. And then Mount Nebo people, I have a joy to share with you this morning. So Warren Smith was one of our elders at Glenshaw Valley at Mount Nebo, and he had to step down a year ago due to health reasons. So he called me on Friday to tell me that he is doing better. He's actually taking less oxygen than he was 6 months ago. He's been able to do his physical therapy at home. And he said for Mother's Day, Father's Day, his kids chipped in to get them a generator. So if their power ever goes out, he will be able to still use his oxygen, because that was something the kids were a little bit worried about. So he wanted me to thank the congregation for praying for him, for sending him all of our worship stuff. And he just wanted to let us know that he's doing better than he thought he would. He turned 90 a couple weeks ago, and he also wanted to thank everyone who sent him a birthday card. So we have a joy in the midst of this. Another prayer request. So Lynn Garvey, our secretary at Glenshaw Valley, she's just really having a rough go of it. Her aunt passed away a couple of weeks ago. She had another death in the family. I'm not remembering exactly who it was. Her niece, who was 7 months pregnant, miscarried. So that was awful. And then on Friday, she texted me that Sean, her husband, is having severe back pain. And he's probably going to have to go to the hospital on Monday and probably have to have surgery at some point. So she just asked me to pray that they would be able to manage his pain over the weekend. And that when he goes to the hospital on Monday, they would be able to alleviate the pain more. All right. Any other prayer requests? You can unmute yourself to share them if you would like.
Rebecca, I'm going tomorrow to the hospital to have a brain scan and an EKG. They want to see if I've had a stroke because my blood pressure has been really, really high in the 200s. So I just would like prayers that everything turns out okay. Thank you.
Yes, we will pray for your scan tomorrow.
I just wanted to say a prayer of praise. My son and his boss, they do landscape lighting and stuff like that, was able to return to work probably like around May 1st or so. So he got the okay to go back to work. My brother was able to go back to work. And so prayers that everything worked out, and you know, they didn't lose up on too much money, and just praise everyone who is on the front line. That, you know, we've prayed for them before, but they definitely deserve a praise request.
Yes, thanks for reminding me, Kathy. We will continue to pray for our essential workers, our healthcare workers, and those who are returning to work.
Hello. Yeah, my knee operation, June 15th.
June 15th?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad that that was able to be rescheduled.
Taking the leg off. No, they're going to put a new knee in there.
Wonderful. I am going to add that to my calendar, and I'm glad that that was able to be rescheduled. All right. Any other prayer requests? Okay, we will lift these up a little bit later in the service. At this time, let us begin our worship service with our call to worship. I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. At this time, I'm going to mute myself and invite Mickey to unmute herself as we sing our opening hymn, We Praise You, O God. Thank you, Mickey. At this time, I invite everyone to join with me in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, or intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Friends, I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Join with me now as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join me in prayer. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for the world. Lord, we continue to pray that an end for this pandemic would be in sight. We pray especially for our country, the United States, which right now is seeing the worst of it. We pray that you would be with each and every person affected by this tragedy, by this pandemic, whether they themselves have the virus, whether they have been laid off as a result of the virus, whether they are figuring out new ways of being in the midst of it. Lord, we continue to pray for our churches, particularly for the saints of Mount Nebo and Glenshaw Valley. We pray that you would continue to give them the patience and the grace and the fortitude to adapt to living during these challenging times. Lord, we continue to pray for those who govern us. Particularly, we pray for our governor and our local representatives as they determine how we are going to reopen. We pray that their guidance would be clear, that it would be manageable, and that it would be relatively easy for us to adapt in our local context. Lord, this morning we continue to lift up to you those who are sick. We pray for Suzanne, for Greg, for Kathy, for Sandy, and for Roy. Lord, we pray that during these uncertain times, they would be able to access the care and the medicine they need to get better. Lord, we also lift up to you our joys this morning. We give you thanks and praise that Warren is doing better, and that Kathy's son and uncle have been able to return to work. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and may we do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, it is time for our offertory. And during this time, I have two questions for you to reflect on. The first is I invite you to name the things that you don't know that are giving you anxiety right now. So, for example, they can be things like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to get a haircut. But they can also be things like, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this month, or I don't know what it's going to look like to reopen the church. So then the second question I want you to reflect on is, how can you share the heart of God with other people this week? So I'm going to mute myself, I'm going to invite Mark to play, and I'm going to invite us all to take some time to reflect. I believe Sandy is our scripture reader for this morning. Go ahead and unmute yourself, Sandy.
Okay, the scripture today is John 14, 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me to do anything in my name, and I will do it." God bless the scripture today.
Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I imagine that our scripture reading for today is a familiar one for many of us. It is one of the most popular texts that people ask me to read at a funeral service. And for good reason. In it, Jesus reminds us not to worry about our loved one, because Jesus is going to prepare a place for them in heaven. While we mourn their physical presence among us, we rejoice that they are able to reunite with our Heavenly Father. In case you're wondering, this is why in the Presbyterian tradition we call funeral services a witness to the resurrection. While we're sad to no longer have our loved one physically with us, we rejoice that because of Jesus, our loved one is in heaven. But this morning, I'm not preparing a funeral meditation. I'm sitting in my mother's office, trying to keep the cat from jumping on me in the middle of this worship service. My mom's office is the place where I'm spending the majority of my time until Pennsylvania's stay-at-home order is lifted. Every week, I'm trying to find something hopeful to say to a people that are mourning a way of life that just isn't possible during a global pandemic. So on this particular morning, I find my attention resting on a different part of the text than it usually does. Thomas's plea to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" We don't know. I can't tell you how many times I've either said or emailed or texted, "We don't know," in the last week. We don't really know what this yellow phase of a stay-at-home order will mean for Allegheny County. We don't know really what in-person worship is going to look like under safety precautions. We don't know if we can sing together and worship until there's a vaccine. We don't know if we can have our usual summer and fall festivals and picnics. actually believe that the choruses of We Don't Know is a sign that we've entered the messy middle of this pandemic, the place in between the start of the crisis, where we all hunkered down and figured out how to use Zoom, and the end of the crisis, where schools will reopen, where we can hug people during the passing of the peace. This messy middle is a challenging place to live. It is filled with a lot of frustrated we don't knows. How can we plan for a future if we don't know what that future is going to look like? In our scripture reading, the disciples find themselves in a messy middle of their own. The messy middle between Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven. They thought that Jesus was dead. They were wrong, because Jesus appeared to them on Easter. How long is Jesus here for? They don't know. He keeps talking about returning to the Father. What will life look like without his physical presence? They don't know. How are they going to share the good news with all the nations? Again, they don't know. But they're getting a sinking feeling in the pit of their stomach that somehow they are going to be the ones who are going to have to figure it out. Into this messy middle, Jesus offers the disciples this advice. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. In the midst of all of these unknowns, Jesus reminds the disciples that Jesus himself is really all they need. There's no need to panic. There's no need to go looking for some secret map. Jesus and God are the same being. We don't have to go looking for the way, because Jesus is the way. Jesus makes it possible for us to know God because we can relate to Jesus's humanity. The only thing left for Jesus to do is to return to God. When he leaves, he says that he's going to send his Spirit so that Jesus can continue to be with us when he's no longer physically present. So this week, I've been reflecting on how can we share this heart of God, the heart of God that Jesus reveals to us in his teachings in this age of social distancing. I really love the way that residents in several cities are taking a few minutes every day at 7 o'clock to thank their healthcare workers during the hospital shift changes. In the way that grocery stores across the country are allowing seniors to shop during the first hour they're open. In the way that I'm seeing crafters on social media repurpose their leftover fabric to make masks for hospital workers, homeless shelters, and food distribution workers. All of these examples proclaim that God cares for the vulnerable, the helpers, and those who are struggling. One area where we could do a little better in practicing sharing the heart of God is how we share information with others on social media. I've noticed a trend on Facebook over the last couple weeks where people are sharing news articles that are meant to scare others. On Friday, I pulled some examples of some of the stories I'm talking about. I didn't have to look far for these examples. These examples were in the first 10 or 12 people on my news feed. So these are articles like how the horrific 1918 flu spread across America, or nearly all patients hospitalized with COVID-19 had chronic health issues, study finds, or my favorite, Pittsburgh skate park filled with sand by order of Peduto to discourage skating during the coronavirus pandemic. Friends, when we share articles like these on our timelines, we're giving in to fear. Fear that we will never see the other side of this pandemic, or fear that God has somehow abandoned us during this pandemic. Instead, why don't we share stories that illustrate the power of love to transform communities? Stories like reopen campgrounds see rush of guests while observing social distancing, or a guide for first-time pet owners during the pandemic, or even how coronavirus is changing the dating game for the better. I'm not suggesting that we don't acknowledge the challenges of living through this pandemic, but I do think that one way that we can love others right now is by not giving in to fear on the internet. Because, friends, in the face of life's cruelties, love is the only hopeful response. No, love never rescues anyone from death, but it does cover us, nurture us, and consume us in a way that does and always will matter completely. Our task as Christians living in the messy middle of a global pandemic is to figure out how to love fiercely, how to pray boldly, how to honor, how to name, and how to grieve the dead, of not shying away from the pain and grief, but having patience that hope and love will survive. Our scripture reading for today ends with the disciples realizing that Jesus is ascending to the Father, and that is their destination too. The disciples cannot allow their hearts to become troubled, or they're going to miss out on the good news of Easter. Because of Jesus, we too can enjoy an intimate relationship with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. While the messy middle of our stories is going to get a bit messy, the ending is what makes it all worthwhile. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I am going to mute myself as we join together for our closing hymn, God is My Refuge. Go ahead, Mickey. Thank you, Mickey. As we prepare to go from this place, wherever this place may be, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. That concludes our worship service for this morning. I'm going to leave the call open for a bit if people want to hang out and chat with one another, but you are free to go, and we will see you back here next week. Take care, friends.